Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 1 Kings chapter 22. Revelation chapter 21 and 1 Kings chapter 22. Title of our message today is The Big Lie. Selling the Big Lie. 2012. We need to forget the failures of 2012. Thinking about the Detroit Lions. We need to forget the disappointments. It seems the Detroit Lions. We need to forget the frustrations. Oh, that'd still be the Detroit Lions. But let's be honest about it. There were other things that were disappointing in 2012. There are things that we'd like to forget, but there are the victories of 2012 that we'd like to remember. Accomplishments, successes, though we should not live on past glories. As the song says, there's victory ahead. We need to press toward new goals. We're into 2013 by 6 days. Are you getting used to writing 13 on your checks? And some things to ponder for 2013. Better health. Quite often that simply means better eating habits. We'll move along quickly. 2013, no tickets. That's a good thing, isn't it? Especially in today's economy. How about this? Watch less television. Ooh, boy, it got quiet there, didn't it? Read more books. Control road rage. Be thankful and say it. Quit cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol. May I encourage you, if you have a habit that needs to be done away with, do away with it. Use the internet wisely. Though it may have many good sites, we know that it has many bad sites. Determine right now to use the internet wisely. Use your cell phones properly. Boy, you can be a testimony with your cell phones, and don't be afraid to do so. Attend church faithfully. Did you hear what I say? Attend church faithfully. Read the Bible regularly. Pastor Stephen has a plan for you to read through the Bible in 2013. Take it as a goal. Give as you would have the Lord give unto you. We all like to receive from the Lord. We pray that the Lord will bless. May I encourage you, give as you would have the Lord give unto you. Shall we stand together, Revelation chapter 21. You may say, well, aren't you supposed to be in the book of Luke? We will be in the book of Luke again next week. But the Lord has laid upon me this message, and I hope that it can be an encouragement to you. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. I hope to do a sermon on that soon. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to be here this day. And Lord, forgetting those things in the past, let us press forward, Lord, toward the high calling of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be used of you, faithfully serving you, and may it be said of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Selling the big lie. If you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, sooner or later people will begin to believe it. I'll give you a couple of examples, one being evolution. See, evolution is a lie. There is no truth in evolution, but they have told it long enough and to enough people that today they say it as if it is a fact when it is a theory, and may I say this, a very poor theory. But it's a lie. They talk about the rights of homosexuals. Nowhere in the Word of God does God ever bless a homosexual relationship. In every case, it is condemned, even to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, for that heinous sin of sodomy. But one of the lies that we have today will be celebrating its 40th anniversary in the month of January. It may be the darkest day in U.S. history. Oh, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, that was a bad time. Oh yes, 9/11 was a bad day, but 40 years ago, in January of 1973, abortion was legalized in the United States of America. You know, over a million Americans have died in wars. And that's sad, but they've done that protecting our country. But over 50 million babies have been slaughtered in America. The lie being, my body, my choice. But what about the choice of the infant? Have you ever listened to what is done to an abortion or an abortion of a child who is 3 or 4 months old and how they take it out in pieces and put it on a counter to make sure they have all the arms and all the legs, the head, and the body, so that nothing has been left within the woman? Do you realize if they would show one abortion on television in prime time, we probably would eliminate abortion immediately? But the lie is out there. And one of the biggest lie tellers is Planned Parenthood. Where do they put Planned Parenthoods? They put it by colleges, in the poor sections of our areas. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Lies. Let me give you another example of lies. According to the Palestine Authority's version of history, now this is their version, the Palestinians are the direct descendants of the ancient Canaanites and Jebusites and have been in Palestine for more than 7,000 years. Some Palestinians claim they've been there since the beginning of creation. Of course, there's not one speck of evidence to back up their claim. Joan Peters, in her book From Time Immemorial, documented the fact that most Arabs who claim to be Palestinians are not. Because during the British mandate over Palestine, the British government allowed thousands of Arabs to flow into the land illegally while refusing access to Jews. Furthermore, Palestinians, claim the world's Jewish people are not Jewish at all, but transplants created by the Europeans who founded Zionist Israel as a means of stealing Palestinian land and identity. Going one step further, Yasser Arafat even claimed Jesus was a Palestinian freedom fighter. And the current refined version says Jesus was a Muslim martyr. In his death, therefore, Jesus had the unique distinction of being not a savior sent from God to bear our sins, but the first Palestinian martyr tortured in Palestine land. This is what's being taught to young boys and girls there. Lies. Lies. We live in a world in which even so-called Christian churches have stopped preaching repentance. See, to repent means you realize something is wrong and you're going to go in another direction. And we don't want to offend anybody, do we? They have stopped preaching hellfire and damnation, saying that a loving God would never send a good person to such a place. They no longer preach the need of a savior because man is basically good. It's amazing how we get all upset over a nativity scene like the one in Warren that wasn't allowed to be put up for 3 or 4 years. But then tens of thousands of so-called Christians didn't even go to church on what we call Christmas Sunday. Or that's the only Sunday they go. The lies we believe. May I say this? Is it any wonder that an atheist group would then put up a banner at the nativity scene, which was finally allowed in Warren again this year? And it said, at this season of the winter solstice, let reason prevail. There is no gods, nor devils, nor angels, nor heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myths and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. We find that there are churches today that deny that Christ created the worlds. They try to use evolution and creation and put them together. They deny the deity of Christ. Many have changed even their versions of the Bible. Let me give you an example. I was given this as a gift when I was ordained into the ministry. And it has 4 different versions, including the King James. And I'd like to read to you from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 56. Please listen carefully to what the King James says. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now I'll read that again to you so that when I read to you what the NIV says, you'll see the difference. The King James says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I'll read to you what the NIV says. And they went to another village. Is something missing there? For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Versus, and they went to another village. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. King James Version. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The NIV. It's not even there. But if we say anything, we're the bad guys. Folks, we live in a world that has proclaimed so many things that are wrong so long that we believe that they are right. I have the word Ichabod is my next point. Revelation 2:4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." If you know the book of Revelation, you know they're talking about the church of Ephesus. With that same thought, reported in the Lexington Herald Leader. Headline, "O Holy Opening Night." Church produces ambitious Christmas pageant by Frank E. Lockwood. Forget about Christmas cantatas. The Ashland Avenue Baptist Church is tackling a new musical genre for the holidays, the rock opera. Performing the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's best-selling Christmas Eve and Other Stories is a bold move to attract visitors, undertaken by a congregation that has survived a church split and plummeting attendance in recent years. You can't reach out and touch today's society with yesterday's methods. It just doesn't work, says music minister John Wesley Brett. Interesting, his name is John Wesley. I think John Wesley would roll over in his grave if a rock opera was performed in one of his churches. So the church is putting on the biggest show ever, complete with snow and fog machines. Now, may I say this? The Trans-Siberian Orchestra can play over at the palace. That's fine. But it has no place in a Bible-believing church. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30 say this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of their own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Last month, Pastor Stephen, my wife and I went to Mansfield Baptist Temple to a pastor's meeting. And you know, as you travel along, you get hungry, and so we decided to stop and get something, and we stopped at a Burger King just south of Toledo. And we went in, and we got, of course, whatever people get when they're eating at the Burger King. And there was a stack of cards on a counter. Let me say that they were these cards. There were a number, I just took one. On the front of the card, it says www.cedarcreek.tv. One church, multiple locations. And you may have seen it off I-75 as you're traveling south of Toledo. The invitation says, "Experience Christmas in a brand new way. This Christmas," and the card has dot, 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 "be a part of a Toledo tradition and join 25,000 others to recapture the wonder of the season. Christmas services, Saturday, December 22nd at the White House campus and the West Toledo campus. Sunday, December 23rd at the South Toledo campus and the Perrysburg campus. Monday, December 24th on the Internet campus." And it had four times. And then it says that all the presentations will be the same. Oh, what's the picture on the front of the card? Well, it's not a couple with a baby. It's not shepherds kneeling. It's not wise men traveling from the east. What do they have as their desire to get you to come to their Christmas experience? It is, of course, a young man playing an electric guitar. Experience Christmas in a brand new way. I ask you, what's wrong with the Bible way? Oh, we can't reach people that way. Is that true? Address to the Covenant Baptist Church worship leader. I quote, the message on the outside of the invitation says, a night to seek the Lord and encounter His presence through worship, preaching, and ministry. And the picture on the invitation, of course, a young man playing an electric guitar. Not someone holding a Bible, not preaching. And if you look at who else is going to be there, you look at a picture of a young guy, and when you first look at him, you think it's a girl. And then there's a picture of a couple, and the girl looks like she needs to go and put some clothes on. But the Jesus culture is presenting this program. It's presenting it at once was a Baptist jewel church in the Detroit Metroplex in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, where thousands of souls were saved. But today we have the Jesus culture presenting a night of worship and ministry. Oh, by the way, to worship the Lord that night will cost you $35. Some may say, but this is what they want. But what does God want? What does He want? Does He want us to have guys with electric guitars taking center stage? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. You may have thought I forgot that I asked you to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Try to get the picture here. Ahab is king of Israel. That's the 10 northern tribes. There has been the division of Israel and the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. And he is complaining that Ramoth and Gilead has been taken by the Syrians and they have done nothing about it, nothing to take it back. And it just so happens that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, is visiting. And Ahab asks Jehoshaphat to help in the retaking of Ramoth, but Jehoshaphat says, we should inquire of the Lord to see if this is a good plan. So Ahab calls his prophets and inquires of them as to the wisdom of going to battle for Ramoth. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. At this point, Jehoshaphat asks, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? But we note Ahab's response in verse 8, there is yet one man, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Ahab, like many today, dislike or even hate the man of God because he doesn't make us feel good or he doesn't scratch our itching ears. And in the preaching of the word, it convicts of sin. But the man of God is to proclaim the word of God as truth. Yet all too many want none of it. This man of God, Micaiah, is sent for and they wait for him. The prophet is told that all these other prophets are in agreement to go up to battle and is warned that he better fall in line if he knows what's good for him. And in verses 11 through 18, it records that a man named Zedekiah seems to be the spokesperson for the prophets that Ahab likes, and he continues to encourage the king to go to battle. And Micaiah comes and sarcastically tells the king to go and prosper. But Ahab knows that he is not being sincere. Let's begin reading at verse 19, if you would, please. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. This is the prophet of the Lord speaking. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall in Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. Today we have a lying spirit within many churches. What were many good churches in the past? See, that lying spirit is entertainment. See, people would much rather be entertained than hear from the Word of God. I was given a videotape of Joel Osteen. They said, you may want to view this, and so I did. Joel Osteen used half a verse. He used that half a verse 10 different times. He told the people how good they could be. He told them that if they just lived good lives, that's what they needed to do. Never once did he talk about repentance. Never once did he talk about hell. Never once did he talk about the need of salvation. But people like that type of preaching. See, they like to be entertained. They like it when they have some program that well, scratches their itching ears. 2 years ago, missionary to Australia, Brother Dawson and his family were with us in our mission conference. He wrote in his last newsletter that he was having a hard time filling his calendar because so many Baptist churches have stopped having Sunday night and Wednesday night services. Why? A lying spirit. You don't need more than one service a week. You don't need fellowship with fellow believers. You don't need to be taught the Word of God. You're too busy and you need to take time to be with your family. A number of years ago, we had a family that was coming to our church and the husband came to me and he says, well, we won't be coming back to church on Sunday night. We're going to have family time. And he went on to defend the fact that he was busy. Of course, he didn't work Saturdays, but he was going to have family time on Sunday night instead of coming to church. A few weeks went by, and I went up to one of their children. Ask the children, they'll tell you the truth. And I said, what are you guys doing on family night? And this is what he said. Oh, he says, nothing special. We're just watching television. The lying spirit of entertainment. Take your Bibles, if you will, and I see I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to skip the rest of page 7. Revelation chapter 3, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 3. Familiar portion of Scripture. We know that the Lord has, through John, written what is to be a message to 7 churches. And in Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 14, we find the message to the church at Laodicea. This was definitely a message to a church in Laodicea. Some believe that it represents a period of time in church history. In fact, they believe it represents today's churches in today's church history. But it most certainly represents some churches of today. And beginning at verse 14, the Lord speaking, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." It could well be that the chastening hand of God may soon come upon our churches. But let's read a little bit further. Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It shows a picture of Christ knocking at the door of what? Of the church. Christ is knocking at the door of the church. May I say this, Christ is not even a welcome person in most churches today because he brings with him the Word of God. And people don't want to hear the Word of God. They want to be entertained. Let me ask you a question, and as the clock is nearing the time for me to quit, when was the largest Sunday night attendance this year? Well, it's not this year, last year. When was the largest Sunday night attendance in 2012 at the Covenant Baptist Church? It was Christmas Sunday night. It was held in this auditorium. Why? Because we had entertainment. We had some radio theater readings. Our young people played musical instruments. There was singing. Brother Wutke, I'll never forget your granddaughter deciding that she did want to participate. That was really cute. But why was that the largest Sunday night service we had in attendance? Because of entertainment. Afterwards, we were going to have a Christmas party. Jesus is knocking at the door. May I say, is he knocking at your heart's door today? Does he want to come in? Will you let him come in? May I say this, the Covenant Baptist Church should have a desire to have the Lord present at every service. That we use the Word of God at every service. May it never be said of us that we have stopped preaching the Word of God, that men and women need to be saved, that hearts need to be made right. Shall we stand together as we sing a song, number 17 in your book, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Too many are wanting their way and not the Lord's way. But folks, we need to have it the Lord's way, because that's the way He will bless. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time of invitation we're about to have. And Lord, this was a message You put upon my heart, and I pray, Lord, that it could have been a blessing and an encouragement to us to remain faithful to the Word, not to be sidetracked, not to feel that great crowds show a great church. But Lord, You have always had a remnant. You've always had those who remained faithful. May we remain faithful until You call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.